Thank you. I don't feel like a guest speaker. During these days, I have felt myself as being part of you. And I thank for the God for the new friends I've got here, many of you. I have so many things to say, and I think that I'm not just giving the closing remarks. When we were in the morning prayer, Friday morning, I gave two testimonies to encourage your morning prayers. And I think that all must hear these testimonies. That why morning prayers are important in the church and in terms of revival. It was 1991. Then the Soviet Union collapsed, and in Moscow was a very big tension, and government of Gorbachev was thrown out, and Boris Yeltsin was a new president, and there were communists and Democrats, and it was kind of home war coming up. But in Estonia, Estonian government had announced and proclaimed our nation as an independent country, and then Russian Red Army tanks and armored corps were sent to the capital of Tallinn, and they wanted to take over everything. And Red Army tanks were under the TV tower, surrounded it. And young guys, very young guys, some at the age of 16, 17, from Estonian National Defense League, they surrounded with human shield, no weapons, no rifles, no anything, no nothing. And they just kept their hands. And there were a Russian Petsnazi, it's an elite, like Delta Force, professional killers, heavily armored, all kind of weapons, rifles, loaded, live ammunition, and tanks ready to attack. But at the same time, we saw it from a TV, and we cried, we wept. If you could see this picture. And at the same time, in Olevista Church, we had a morning prayer. And about 100 people were gathering in the small church chamber. And they prayed all the night long, just asking mercy from the Lord for the country, asking for the revival, asking God's visitation to the nation. And suddenly, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, heavens were opened, and the voice, very clear voice, audible voice, told, I have heard your prayers. There will be no bloodshed, and Estonia will have its independence without any bloodshed. And Pastor Rein was a leader of morning prayers and leading this prayer. And they wrote it and wrote a letter to Estonian Prime Minister. And after 6 o'clock, very early in the morning, they sent the letter to the prime minister that we have been praying for, fasting for, and heavens were opened, and the King of Kings and Glory, our God, told that Estonia will be independent without any bloodshed. And so it was. So it was. So it was. It just miraculously, these tanks went away. The soldiers went away. They started shaking hands with people, very friendly, and people went to the soldiers, started to shake. Friendship came out of nowhere. But intercessors knew how it came. Because the battle was fought in heaven. And then it came to the earth. Hallelujah. And now we have had 27 years these morning prayers in our church. And I've been involved 12 years, as long as I've been in Olavista Church, serving Lord. And one morning, one lady, wife of one prayer warrior, started to complain. Why are you going every morning to this morning prayer? What did you lose there? And complained and complained. And went to sleep. And at the very same night before the morning prayer, and next morning, her husband had to go to the morning prayer. And she saw a revelational dream that there was darkness over the capital of Tallinn. Dark clouds everywhere. It was spiritual darkness. No light. The city was in total darkness. Daytime, but dark. And suddenly she saw that the beam of light struck through the clouds. And very thick, but very strong. And she was interested where it touches the ground. Where is a pinpoint? And she noticed that the pinpoint was a church chamber of Olavista Church. She repented. She pushed her husband. Go for a morning prayer. It's very necessary. It's very important. I myself have felt that these morning prayers have been since 20, yes, I don't know what the year, but now it's 27th year. It's going. It has been kind of a spin or backbone of our church life, body, of our body. Ken told that he has dropped the word church. We use it. But it's a body. And body of Christ, and it's a blessing. And I felt very strongly in my heart that I have to give over the anointing and spirit of prayer in terms of morning prayers. If you really are hungry for the changes in Deeside, in Middlesbrough, and receive it. Just receive it. And you know, to do it 27 years or more, you can think that this is a tradition, it can be religious, it can be, I don't know what kind of word, or routine. You don't like routine. But anyway, if you are true intercessor, you know that prayer is a really hard work. It's a hard work. And if you like to see the revival, do not be afraid of work, hard work, and make a schedule and put two or three guys responsible of that. Every day, every weekday, somebody is here who wants to join, is coming, and it's good to have before the work, because people have to go to work, to schools, whatever. We have had it from 6 to 7, then from 7 to 8, and right now we have morning prayers from 8 to 9, from 8 to 9, and then people go. We worship, we cast out spirits, evil spirits. Several times it has happened that we gather for prayer, we start to worship, but God, I don't know who, sends some prostitute, some people come in and they are delivered there. It can happen that some morning prayer you are gathered here and you see some drunken guy or suffering any kind of sin. Demon-possessed people can come in. Be ready for that. Be ready that your morning prayers could be the service of deliverance. Hallelujah. But receive. Receive anointing. Receive anointing of prayer. And receive anointer. Receive Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit put it very into my heart, the message. And the message is very simple. Probably too simple for you. Purity. Purity in heart. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus told, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Holy Spirit likes poor vessel. King David knew that. He knew that. In Psalm 51, he prays that, "Cleanse me. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of a salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Create me a clean heart. David knew that when his heart is clean, Holy Spirit is in him. Holy Spirit doesn't come to the vessel which has any kind of impurity. Pastor Rain, my spiritual father and mentor, he has a good expression that all Christians, or many of them, of us, we have a kind of pocket sins. Kind of secret sins we have in our lives. And Rain says that even if we have a very little piece of dirt on our tips of our fingernails, even smaller than 0.1 millimeter, you even maybe can't see by your eyes, but very little, very little dirt. Very little sin in your life. You can go to hell. Like in the Bible, in Old Testament, it said that a fly can make the oil rotten. Very little and small fly in the oil. Everything is rotten. Totally rotten. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to the repentance. In Estonian Bible, I know that in English Bible, it depends on version, is revive. But in Estonian Bible, we do not have the word revival. We do not have such a word. When I became Christian, I was sick at the age of 16. There was a word, repentance. Repentance. And during the first revival movement, 19th century, in the finishing of 19th century, was a great revival movement. And these guys, you know that the terminology of revival can change, and over generations and over generations. And they didn't know the expression that Holy Spirit is falling down. But they prayed and they waited for the God. And they said that then they were filled. Actually, we, in our terms, they were filled with Holy Spirit. Their term was that the grace fell down. The grace fell down. Amazing grace. Holy Spirit brings grace. And signs and wonders followed. Do not seek so much anointing. Seek anointer. Seek anointer. Because then anointer comes, signs and follow, wonders follow. Yeah. Signs and wonders follow. It was 10 years ago when Holy Spirit grabbed me. And grabbed me. And I'm a slave. I'm a slave of Christ. I like to be slave. I like to be slave. I like to be slave of Holy Spirit. We experience very differently. Some experience that falling down. And fire. Oil. All, whatever. Lots of joy. Weeping. Crying. All kind of manifestations. But Holy Spirit is working quite differently. And in my life, it was a holy visitation. And since that time, I do not fear only God, the Father. I fear Holy Spirit. I fear Holy Spirit. I was praying. My wife was sleeping. My children was, Sarah was born, little baby, in her room, and it was nighttime watch. It's between 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. I did my nighttime watch. And I was in my room. And suddenly I felt that door is opening. What's going on? But Holy Spirit came as a person, He is person, into my room. I was full of fear. I thought, I can't even move. And in my human mind, I thought some kind of condemnation is coming. Wow, I don't know. I don't know what God is saying to me, because I knew God is in my room physically. And very suddenly, a voice came. Very short message. And Holy Spirit speaks. It's very concrete, very clear. And the Holy Spirit told me, Veljo, I like you that you hate sin. I like that you hate sin. That it was. And he was gone. Whew. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy visitation. Holy visitation. Seek Holy Spirit. Seek anointer. Seek anointer. Anointing comes. Anointing comes. Look your scripture. Open your scripture. 1 John. And chapter 2. And verse 20. Here's the regulation. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Purity brings Holy Spirit filling you, and purity brings people to Christ. It's very essential in the heart of a revival. Martin asked me that I talk about the heart of a revival. The heart of a revival is love for the Lord. Love for the Lord and purity in the heart. It's so simple. It's too simple. It's not mythology. It's not theology. Hallelujah. I like to show you the picture of my grandfather from my mother's side, wife's grandfather. He was an evangelist and a missionary. But actually, he was a tailor. And he made dresses for women and suits for men. And he was a very, very famous tailor in Pechori, the same city I talked on Saturday morning. And he lived comfort life. He built his house. He married. He had a wife and five children. He did his job. He was a righteous man. He took more money from the rich people and made dresses and suits without any fee for poor. Righteous man. Belonged to the Lutheran church. Every Sunday went to the church. Well dressed. And like a gentleman. He was a real gentleman. But one day, to this town came a missionary, Alexander Söderlund. I like to show his picture too. Yes. And this man was a coastal Swede. Coastal Swedish people, they came during the Viking time to Estonia. And they lived very friendly together with Estonians. And they had their own laws. And they lived in Estonian country, but they had a Swedish law. And Swedish kings governed over them, foeing the Estonian territory. And he was a man full of faith and full of Holy Spirit. And he came to Pechori with his wife and family. And he was sent out from his church. Elim, Pentecostal church. And he looked for the apartment, rental apartment, where to live. And because my wife's grandfather's house was quite in the middle of the city, middle of a town, he went there and they made a contract and they moved in. And the contract was that every month he will come and pay the rent for the apartment. And for the very first time, he came to pay the rent. He entered the room where my wife's great-grandfather, Johan Kuhl, was working. And he did his tailor's work. And Alexander Söderlund came in. And Johan Kuhl turned at him. And what did he saw was that this man was in Shekinah. This man came into the room and he was full of light. He was so full of light, so full of anointing. He just came to pay the rent. But Holy Spirit and the condemnation of sin came so strongly to my great-grandfather's heart. He was saved. Repented. He was saved. At the very moment. He was saved and church was started. Church was started. And my great-grandfather became the associate pastor, associate evangelist. And this church was so packed and so filled with Holy Spirit. They had the prayer meetings. Ladies were praying about and how and more. And suddenly Holy Spirit lifted them up. And my great-grandmother, from my wife's side, Helen Quill, he was lifted up about meter and half on her knees. And brought the other side up. So, oh, such a things happened there. But he was so clean, so pure. And there were ladies there who came in and complained, Pastor, we have a young lady here who is coming directly from her farm and with her shoes, which are very dirty, very dirty. I don't want to say the word, but directly from her farm, caring the cows and milking, directly from milking, and smelling bad, blah, blah, blah. Pastor, just talk to her, and Pastor said that I go home. I will pray for that. I will search the Lord. And he went home, knelt down, and asked, Lord, what I need to do? My church members are complaining. Rich ladies are complaining that this poor lady, is coming with his own shoes. And Jesus told him, I want to be her as she is. And he went back and told his rich ladies of a city, which were also the Christians and part of his congregation, said that Lord told me that she must be among of us as she is. He was man of God. He was full of Holy Spirit. And when the Soviet occupation came, 1994, before the Russian Red Army came back, they fled to Sweden because of a red terror was coming And all the siblings of Alexander Söderlund, they were missionaries, pastors, frontline evangelists, and they started Bible schools, congregations, revivals in Australia. But my great-grandfather stayed in Pechori, and he was pastoring this church through the toughest times. Through the toughest times. When people were slaughtered, raped, and he was there, standing as a column. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to show you and introduce you my wife, Anna. Sarah admonished me, my daughter. Father, you preached and you didn't introduce my brothers and sisters. You didn't introduce your wife. I repent, Sarah. I repent. See, I like to show you my wife, Hannah. Yes. Hannah is my gift from God. And Hannah has a prophetical gift. When we are in Olevista Church and is worshipping or something like that going on, so Hannah comes to the senior pastor or who is leading the service, and she always asks permission to go to the front. And then she comes front and start praying prophetically, and it touches. Hannah has such an anointing that people are delivered right there they are. We even don't need to come to front. They're delivered in their seats, in their places, because Holy Spirit is touching. And after the services, they came, "Oh, thank you. Oh, that was so great." And but Hannah is very humble. My wife is very humble. And her heart is so clean. She has a master's science in psychology. And I'm very happy that my wife is clever than me. I'm very often very absent-minded. I am thinking about my preachings or whatever. I am in my thoughts. And Hannah talks about Sarah and how school stuff and kindergarten, how it kids are doing, and then she asks it, "Did you listen to me?" "No, say again. Oh, what are you?" yeah. She brings me back. She brings me back. Hallelujah. But when I was a teenager, I was deeply in pornography. And thank God that He delivered me. And I know that there are so many people in church, among Christians, who are in this sin. Josh McDowell's wife, Dodi, is a friend of Hannah. And last time we had a lunch together, Josh McDowell's wife visits Estonia and her friends in Estonia, and we ate lunch together. And Dodi told us that Josh McDowell is very, very concerned about how growing and vast numbers of pastors, youth leaders, Bible school teachers among the American Christians and Christians among Western world, are in pornography. Mainly because of a free access to the internet. And I feel it's very important point in question of purity. And therefore, Holy Spirit wanted me to talk about that. And in Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verses from 2 to 5, Apostle Paul says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath no power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the another, except it be with consent for the time. Yet ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Incontinency, maybe. Correct me. And second is Ephesians 5. And from 21 to 25. "Submitting yourselves one to another. In the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." As I said, God delivered me. But there had been times where, when Satan tries to tempt me, and I have to flee. I have to turn my eyes away. And I keep close to God. I keep close to Holy Spirit. But I also have to keep close to my wife. I hug her. I tell her as often as I can, "I love you." I cuddle her. I just keep close. I'm very caring of my wife. I really love her. I'm falling in love. I'm falling in love with God and with my wife. And I think this is important for someone here. Keep close to your wife. Keep romantic relationship. Go for a walk. Take a hand. Just talk. Listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Simple things. But this is a big area where we can lose our purity. Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, power of Holy Spirit is cleansing you. If you have such kind of problems today, tonight, you are here, you are Christian. Holy Spirit wants to cleanse you. I'm encouraging. I'm not condemning, but encouraging. Very soon we will start to pray for purification. And you know, I'm not professional. I'm not professional. You see it, I'm not professional. Because every time my heart is shaking, Every Sunday I have to preach in all. My stomach is very bad. Very bad. Very bad. But always I ask Lord. And today I ask Lord. This great outpouring here. Afternoon and in the morning. And we have been like in God's restaurant. This weekend. My brother and sister. Three courses. Starter. Main course. Dessert. And I asked, Lord, when I am asking people come forward, I'm praying, are you there? Jesus told, I will be. Not such a loud voice, but very certain voice. It was very certain. Jesus is here. That's why I have a courage to stay here. Because now Jesus told me. He really told me that I will. I will be there. We could have all kind of things. And I bring you one example. How when we just throw away any kind of roadblock. In impurity or in our motives away, it brings revival to your family. It brings revival, repentance, salvation to your unsaved family members. This spring, I was preaching in Pärnu, the very same city you were doing Route 60-61 last year. And there was a revival meeting, the same Baptist church I was member of many years ago, and I talked about Holy Spirit, I talked about Jesus, and preached the gospel, and people started to come and give their lives to Jesus. But among the people was the gentleman in mid-age, about 50, in his 50s, and he came front and I didn't know what his problem is, but he started to say that I have a kind of idol and inside of me. And I asked that what kind of idol it is. I thought that maybe some kind of sexual immorality. But he said that I'm about HTV. It's kind of bike, but four wheels, and you know, kind of special bike, and yes, yeah. And in Estonia we say HTV, HTV. Yeah, and he told me that I ride with it to my non-Christian friend, and I want to preach him. I want to talk about Jesus to him. But my heart is condemning me. That this writing is more important for me. And my motives are not clean. My motives are impure. And we just knelt down there and we prayed that, take it away. Just take it away. I give it over. And the man was instantly freed from the love for all kinds of ancient scars or whatever. And after the meeting, you saw, it was great. His son, 17 years old son, came forward and told, I want to give my life to Christ. After father repented. After father witnessed his hidden sin. You think that love for cars, it's not sin? I think the same. Probably not. But God knows, and all of us, we know where are our weak points, where are our open doors for our passions, earthly passions. Whoa. I was 5 years old, 5 years old boy. I looked at beautiful woman. Ah, I like to marry her. I like to marry her. 5 years old. 5 years old. Amazing grace. Experienced grace. God's grace. Keeping me close to Him. Keeping me close to my wife. To my children. To my loved ones. There are spiritual temptations. And I like to talk about these temptations too. And it can be temptation to become a church planter. It started 10 years ago. I share my personal experience with you. I lived near the biggest soccer stadium in Tallinn. The biggest soccer stadium, Estonian national team and national team of England have played there, and a very popular place. And the first floor, very first floor of this big soccer stadium have all kind of shops and boutiques and kind of shopping centers. And there are lots of rooms, the same kind of rooms like here you guys are gathering. And 10 years ago when Sarah was born, I was with a lapse vanker. Sarah was sleeping and I stroller. Baby stroller. Yeah, baby stroller. And I just walked around the soccer stadium, and a very silent voice started to speak me, start church here. Because this was a time when Pastor Rain was quite suspicious towards me. I witnessed you that when I came to Olaviste, to the pastoral team, he asked that, are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? He knew my Baptist background. It was a very time when I wasn't trusted. I wasn't trusted by the pastoral team, and it was temptation. And at the same time, I was anointed young preacher, and many people could follow me among the youth. And silent voice says, "Start church here. You see, your church name will be Arena." Arena. Wow. Even the name was given. Messianic. Charismatic. Messianic church. Start here. Your own ministry. Your own ministry. And so on and so on. Nice place. I even knew the administration of a stadium. We got good friends. We talked to each other and good friends with soccer stadium administration. All doors were open that I could go to our pastor team and tell to Pastor Rain that I deeply feel in my heart I need to start new work. I deeply feel in my heart God has spoken that new mission work in soccer stadium. Young people are coming. But a spirit of discernment, gift of discernment, told that this is not the voice from Jesus. This is a voice from Satan. It's a spiritual. It looks like so nice, so good. And that time was teaching very popular church planting. You have to go and plant church, plant church, plant church, plant church. It's not biblical. In the book of Acts, we say that people are saved. People are repenting. And then after repentance, we have saved. Just God adds them to a fellowship, wherever they are. And the Holy Spirit is leading this. No humanistic methodologies, psychology, whatever. And I was interested with all kind of this stuff, and Holy Spirit very clearly forbid me. Do not do that. Do not do that. And then I came to Tallinn. I was countryside boy. To the capital, right to the capital, the biggest church, biggest free church in Estonia. All of this, and I was so afraid of. But God confirmed me. Holy Spirit filled me. And when I came to Tallinn, some people told me, you come here, but you know that nobody wants to be here the second. Nobody wants to be here the second. He meant the pastors. You know, when we have a first revival, Efata, Tallinn revival, when Russian people came in, and lots of young men were saved. Lots of young men got to repentance and were spirit-filled. And Pastor Rain was in his 40s, the same age like me right now, and this young man surrounded him. But they didn't submit. Well, there was a young guy, Rain, admonished and told him, you have to repent. You have to repent. And he didn't listen, Pastor, and went astray. Started his own church. It was a spiritual rebellion in him. And he backslidden. And by now, he's a gay Christian. Demon-possessed guy. Under condemnation of Satan. We pray for him. But very bad things happened. And Pastor Rain was in the midst of all miracles, all signs and wonders. God was really on the ground. Really on the ground. Heaven was on the earth. And Rain was so hurt. His heart was so hurt about this rebellion, because Satan was very angry. It was a work of Satan. But through the spiritual temptations, nobody wanted to be the second. But I don't know. I think it was God's plan, because God brought me out right from the military. And for me, it was very clear, what does it mean to be 2IC, in military terms, second in command. And I came to Olavist, and for me, no problem to submit. To submit my head pastor, senior pastor. And I like to be even third or fourth command. We could have such temptations. Put them aside. Put them aside. And if you have felt some bad feelings or wrong feelings toward Pastor Martin or somewhere else here, repent. 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 Motives. Even our motives have to be clean. You think that I haven't done anything wrong. Yes, you haven't done anything wrong. But you are thinking something wrong. Very wrong. And you have to repent. Hallelujah. Purity brings salvation. And salvation brings purity. And now I want to talk about my babysitter. I like you to show a picture of my best friend and prayer partner. Very soon you will see this babysitter's picture in front of you. Okay, here are my babies, Sarah and Naomi. She's our youngest. Here are Johannes and Naomi. Johannes is 4 years, and Naomi is a year and 3 months old. And Johannes is a leader. Johannes is a manager. He put things happening. And Benjamin, the next. Oh, here is our babysitter. But show the picture with Ott, yes. That's a picture I wanted to show you. This man, he really is taking care of our boys right now. I am preaching to you. He has won medals and places in national level and very well experienced coach in different fitness centers. And it happened 7 years ago. One of my church member came to me and said that, "Pastor, you have to keep yourself physically fit." Yes, sir. Okay. And here's a ticket. I paid for you for half a year and more. And go to the fitness center, start bumping and jumping, running, all kind of. Okay, and I went there, and this was a fitness center, not very cheap, quite expensive. And the people there, very rich people, KGB agents, because then I'm going there 10 a.m. Who are there? KGB agents, rich people who don't need to go to work, and homosexuals, gays, same sex marriage guys, and I felt so badly there. And then this year and a half started to finish. I went there once or twice a week, sometimes 3 times per week. And the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere was quite bad there. Everything looking how you look like, and so measuring you, who you are. And my ticket was finishing, and I was thinking that, will I continue it or not? Because it was so expensive, and sometimes we didn't have the money for just to go for a shopping and to buy food to my children. But my wife encouraged me, "Velio, you must to keep yourself shape because of children. And boys want to wrestle with you. You have to go and keep." And we paid it. We paid it, and I continued it. And the Holy Spirit started to convince me that you have to pray for these people. You have to start pray urgently. Pray for these people. And I prayed for these homosexuals and KGB agents. There have lots of plenty of time. It's a kind of fifth column in Estonia. And I saw this young man smiling to everybody and talking, and I started to pray earnestly. I pray for this young man. Jesus, help him to be saved. Help him to be saved. I really prayed in my heart and poured out my heart of this young guy. And 1 week later, was Sunday afternoon, and I saw Alpha Course was starting, and so, wow, who is this? The same guy who was in the fitness center? Yeah. And later on I asked from Marek, who sent you? Who invited you? Who invited you to Alpha Course? And Marek told me that nobody. God told me to come here. And Holy Spirit is moving in him. We're very good friends. I invest my time. I invest my energy. I invest my love and gifts to him. These 7 years, we have been prayer partners and close friends. And we have the same hobby. We do all-season swimming. We swim winter time in the ICC. Once or twice a week, we go out. We pray. We bring all kinds of things in front of the Lord. We pray for revival for Russia, for Estonia, for Olevista. We are so filled with Holy Spirit. Right at the coastline, right at the beach, we are filled with Spirit, Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit fills us, we go to swim. Oh, so good. Refreshing. Refreshing. And what I admire the most in my prayer partner, Marek, is the purity. You know that in 1 Timothy 3:9 is written that the holding the mystery of faith is in a pure conscience. In Estonian Bible is pure heart. When Marek was saved and he was born again, young Christian, he went to the country, and it happened that the local hunters killed his dog. Nice dog, big dog, black. I think the dog wasn't Rottweiler, but very expensive, very, very dear for Marek. And hunters killed the dog, poisoning the dog. They poisoned the dog because dog all time, and it disturbed them somehow. They poisoned. And evil people did evil things. And Marek was so sad. And he went to the dog, and no breathing, no pulse. Dog was dead. But he was so sad. But full of faith, he started to pray for the dog. Put his hand on the dog and started to pray. Wake up in the name of Jesus. Raise in the name of Jesus. And heart started pumping. Life came into the dog, and dog is alive right now. But the next thing happened. Her car engine broke and stopped. Car stopped right on the road. And he looked what's in the engine, and he had to take off the battery. And he took the battery off and put it aside. And the voice said that, go to your car and start the engine. He went right to the car and start the engine without battery. He went back home and talked about and witnessed it. He was amazed to his wife. Wife told that, you've gone mad. Wife was Christian as well. But he hadn't gone mad. He was the officer in Estonian intelligence service. Man, and quite logical, good thinking man. And we go together. We go to the people. Like Ken talked about one-to-one evangelism. We do the same. We do the same. And Marek went to one guy who was 40 years a smoke addict. Smoking. 40 years. Old man. In his 70s. And Marek went and prayed for him. Be delivered. Accept Jesus to your life. And so full of God's love, so full of anointing that this 70-year-old man, smoking addict, was delivered instantly. 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 He went home, put suit on. Wow! I'm happy. Such a thing's happening. Impurity. In the purity. In clean heart. Holy Spirit wants to come. Holy Spirit hates sin. Any kind of sin. Even a little sin. Holy Spirit hates it. And this is a message. Any kind of sin. Any kind of wrong motives. Whatever. But he loves pure vessel. Holy Spirit wants to come to poor vessel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To make you rich. To make you fulfill. Hallelujah. Danu Jesus. I want to talk about my son Benjamin. I haven't introduced him. Benjamin was born again when she was 4. And how? We have Bible stories, nighttime, bedtime stories. Every night my wife reads Bible to my kids. And I read when I'm home. And Benjamin was 4 years old. And like all children, likes lots of chocolate. And my mother told, my wife told that, Benjamin, do not eat so much chocolate. Your heart will get bad. In Estonia we say, südale paks. It means that the stomach will feel very bad. But we use expression that your heart gets very, you feel bad. Your heart gets bad. And Benjamin told it, oh, but Jesus gives me new heart. I like to show you the Benjamin. He's a real engineering man, designer. He thinks lots of things. He likes Lego robotics, puts things together, all kind of wires and systems. He will be very good at engineering, I think. But God has given many gifts to him. And at the age of 4, before or during the bedtime story, he asks, Mother, I like to have pure heart. How could I get the pure heart? And Hannah told that, you have to receive Jesus into your heart. And Benjamin said that, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. And right there, they prayed. And Benjamin was saved. I'm very happy. I'm very happy of that. Pure heart. Pure heart. Your heart comes to your life and to my life when Jesus comes to our home. When Jesus comes to our house. Remember the place Jericho. When Jesus walked through the Jericho city and with pilgrims, and there was a man there, Zacchaeus, who was too short to look at Jesus because people were taller than him and he couldn't see. He wanted to see Jesus, Jesus passing through the city, and Bible says that he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree, to see Jesus. For he was to pass that way. He was to pass that way. Hallelujah. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus. He received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, what, he was gone to the guest with a man that is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restored him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lover of money. And many Christians are doing the same nowadays. Loving money. Not being honest to him or herself. But deep in your heart, you know if you're a money lover. And so was Zacchaeus before he met Jesus. And Jesus came to his very house. The house we're living is intimate place. The house is symbol of our earthly body. It is a house as well. And Jesus came in. Zacchaeus met him, Jesus. And it changed his life. And his heart became pure. He was saved. He was full of joy. But he was pure. Purity brings joy. You understand? Purity brings joy. But who can make you pure? Jesus. And tonight, I don't know, I think most of us are saved. But if you're not saved, you can just raise your hand. If you're not saved, but if you need any kind of purification in the blood of Jesus, you do not have no choice. You have to come. Because Zacchaeus came. He came. How many of you, raise your hand, how many of you have been saved in church? Oh, quite of many. How many of you have been saved in street evangelism? Somebody prayed with you on the street. Are there some? Wow, yes, Guido is here. Okay. How many of you have been saved in school environment? Some Christian friend prayed with you in school. Okay. How many of you have been saved in Billy Graham rally? Wow. Hallelujah. Applaud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But how many of you have been saved in the public bus? I was saved. Hallelujah. I was saved in public bus. I prayed my sinner's prayer with my friend. And I asked Jesus to come to my life. I hadn't committed rape. I hadn't done lots of bad stuff. I was a regular school student at the age of 16, doing my wrestling sport, attending school theater and drama group and all kinds of stuff, being active in school. But my grand aunt Hilda prayed for me, and I had my Bible, which was gift for my graduation of ninth grade, and Holy Spirit started to convict me. Holy Spirit started to convict me that I am a sinner. But what were my sins actually? I mentioned pornography. I was a teenager, but I also hated Russians. It was lots of hate in me. I hate Russian people. Why? Because during my childhood, I was told a lot of stories from the age of World War II. Then Red Army Terror started, and the soldiers came to our village, the countryside where we lived, and they raped young ladies there and tramped with their military boots on them until they died. And their stomachs were totally broken and hid them under the ground. And I heard lot of bad, bloody stories and lot of violence, what the Red Army soldiers had terrorized people, Estonian people. And it was kind of hatred inside of me towards all the Russian people. And then Jesus came into my life. I was totally delivered from this hate. And not, by now I have many friends, Russian friends, and no problem with Russian people. I really love Russian people. I really love them. And Jesus brought it to my life. And when Holy Spirit started to convict me in my sin, I also felt that I was so proud. There is so much of pride in me. So much of pride. Holy Spirit made me free. But when I came Christian, I still had sinful ways, sinful thinking, and sinful attitude. You know, one attitude among a Christian is very, very popular, is ostentation. Ostentation. I don't know, does this word something for you? Vanity, ostentation. Vanity, yeah. But that's a very thing Ken witnessed first evening. Preaching, go. Need to be nice. Well, yeah. Yeah, I had the same, but Holy Spirit convicted me. Hallelujah. Habashakoro for freedom, receive freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand.